Hour.
Keep it to an hour.
Are we live?
Yep.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Westmith Variety Show, episode number 41. I got it right.
Yes.
With special guests. Elliot, hi, Fine Negron. I just said it all fast because I wasn't sure which part of it I'm supposed to use today. Ah. And co-host, Kelly, Agent 137, Ross.
Yo.
Reporting from New York. Welcome, everybody. This episode is unofficially sponsored by Mama Chia, and that is because they are from Southern California, and I have a friend that works there, and they make awesome products. So since we have no official sponsors, that is our unofficial sponsor that I have chosen for today. I am officially hooked on chia seed drinks.
Me too.
Let's see. What else real quick? Enjoy the fake brick wall behind me today, folks. I think I've changed the background and or the orientation of the studio maybe every time the last 3-4 episodes. Music stuff real quick. Elliot, did you get my disco jams that I sent you?
Yeah, but I couldn't open them, man. I'm at work.
Oh, tough life. Kelly got them.
I heard.
Like- yeah, I just started sending those out. They're not officially out yet, but they will be out soon. And that's Westmith versus Fat Larry's band. So if you're jonesing when you hear that on a few of these mixes that some people put them on, that's what it is. Westmith versus Fat Larry's band, straight out of the 1970s. Check it out. They're fun. And for music fan producer type folks, those are going to be part of the reason I did them was because they're fun. And then part of the reason I did them was because I got this Yopax thing that I'm doing. It's kind of a sample pack, but not really. Don't use them and go make remixes and put them out on Beatport type stuff, but they will be fun. And you'll see what that's all about soon. Maybe we'll talk about that on next week's episode when it actually comes out. Waiting on Ableton 10 to officially come out. I think that's February 6th. Is that right, Kelly?
I think so, yeah.
February 6th. I think it officially comes out. So it works great, but if I put out a project that has Ableton 10, and undoubtedly there will be people that will not be able to open it. So I'm trying to avoid that situation. That's what's going on. Events coming up, San Francisco in April. Don't know the exact date yet, or at least to announce it, or who's on the lineup and all that good stuff. But it will be San Francisco. It'll be fun. That's it for me. What do you got, Kelly, real quick? And then let's get down to business with my man, Elliot.
All right. Let's see. February 15th, I'm playing a new show called Essential Thursdays, playing a breakbeat set. That would be at the Deep End in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
And then on the 23rd, I'm playing a show called Steven Universe 2, Cheeseburger Backpack. And that is put on by Sound So Sweet. And that will be at Brooklyn Bazaar. That will be a jungle drum and bass set. And in the future, I have some things lining up, but I can't say what they are now.
Because they're top secret.
Super secret.
What is it with you guys and your top secret shows?
It's not top secret. It's just it's top secret.
So why can't you say it?
We just gotta, we just spread it all out. That's all.
Look, I don't want to
see you guys.
It's just marketing gimmicks, Elliot.
It's a marketing gimmick. Okay, all right. If you want to know the truth, this is the truth. I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to go to Miami or not again.
Oh.
Although I just saw the lineup for some shows over there, and it's like electro heaven for me.
Yes, and Uber Zone is playing.
I thought he was out of the game.
I know, everyone's
Nobody's ever out of the game anymore because all you have to do is get a USB stick out of a cereal box and you're a DJ again.
This is the vortex of what Miami is. Like, you're like, I'm not going to go this year. It's not going to happen. And then they're like, Uber Zone is playing. And you're like, what?
Uber Zone, Dynamix.
Yes.
Jimmy the Genius from Hydrolox.
DMG's going to be.
If you kids go, have fun. I can guarantee you I will not be there. I am Well, I didn't go last year either. So the we have a conference, music conference that started up here called West Coast Weekend. Or this will be their third year. It's not at the same exact time, but it takes equal amount of energy. So I volunteer and help them with that. So that's like my music conference thing for the year now, at least this year. But hey, Elliot, speaking of music conferences, dude, let's get down to business with the hi-fi discussion, which is why you're here today. This guy is so busy working, educating, taking photographs, doing all these things.
Thankfully,
we met each other through DJing. But speaking of Miami, let's just jump right in and talk about the one WMC that you and I were at together.
Is this how you met?
No, we met each other prior to that. I was there with what, like five or six other people at first? I think
we went separately.
What?
We went separately, but we were all there together.
I didn't even know you were going to show up. All of a sudden, like, I see you. I ran into you somewhere, and I'm like, Wes, what the fuck are you doing here? And there you were. And the weekend, I've never seen anybody drink as much in a 24-hour period than I saw Wes.
Really?
That night. Like, I've never seen – you must have drank, what, a case of beer?
I've never seen him drink that much.
And, yeah, no, not even. It's like a case of beer, a full bottle of tequila. I think you asked – you called room service to get another bottle of tequila, Patron, if I remember.
Yeah, I'm going to need another one of those.
And then, like, we broke night, and we're the next morning we're supposed to go to the – I forgot what that break show is at, like, you know, 12 o'clock on a Sunday.
I don't remember.
It was like Decline and Wizard, I think, were playing, and some other people.
I don't know if you made it. I know I didn't make it.
You didn't make it. You started punching. You literally started, like, punching me out of nowhere. And I'm like, Wes, what are you doing? And you look at me with a stupor.
That's like Wes Smith, you know, maybe I would say 2.0, but not probably Wes Smith 3.0. I'm on, like, Wes Smith 5.0 now. But that was extremely unhealthy, Wes Smith. That was extremely, like, you know, invincible age Wes Smith, right? How we all had those phases.
Yes.
Damn, it was a good time. I don't know. 10 years. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was. And then you were going to see your mother right after that.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I remember you were...
I'm sure I did. Yeah, that was, you know, for the young crowd listening, don't do that.
It was fun, man. It was fun.
But we had, that was probably the most ballin' year I ever had there. Remember that hotel room that I had, dude? And we had a party there?
Hotel room was the bomb.
It was so much fun.
It was me, you, Butter.
We had people coming in and out of there. I'm pretty sure there was a pizza delivered. We couldn't get any more alcohol from the hotel, so I think we paid the pizza guy to run out to the bodega and grab us a 12-pack. It was really funny, and I think it happened more than once. Yeah, that was a good time right there.
That was a good time.
It was.
That was the first conference that I went to after I moved out of Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe me too, dude. Maybe that's why I got unhinged, because we knew each other at that point.
Yeah.
And yeah, where did we actually meet, man?
I was thinking about that earlier today.
Sullivan Room? Sullivan Room?
You know, no, it wasn't Sullivan Room. I think you were already doing a party, because I think I remember the first time I met you, you were doing that Beastman party, you know, where you had like DJ Love play. Once.
Oh, down in the basement of that shady place in Lower East Side?
Yeah, the Lower East Side. So I think I ended up going to one of your parties there, and I think that was the first time that I met you. You and Jill and...
Oh, man, Jill.
that goes back.
Cosmic Jill, yo.
I think at that time we were still doing our residency at Sullivan Room.
I wonder how much of those days the internet has captured, like if it's still out there. Because I know we were like posting stuff online and all that, but I just don't remember, like, you know, I don't know if the internet was like so intense like it is now, no, where all everything is there forever.
All
these
pictures are on MySpace.
MySpace is
nice. Yeah, it would be on MySpace, dude. You have to type in anything MySpace and you might find it.
Did they kill it?
Yeah, they killed it. They would not, yeah, you don't have any pictures on there. Don't worry.
I thought.
Don't worry, you're safe.
No, but I still have them. I have the majority of all. So this is a good segue into like the whole.
It's not dead. MySpace isn't dead. It's here. I'm looking at it right now. It's like a news and music site.
Go into Hi-Fi. Do you still have
them? I don't know. Connect with people. Hi-Fi. I don't know. Calvin Harris is on there. Must be important.
It doesn't
find anything. If I type in hi-fi, it like automatically finds like some boy band called High Five or something.
DJ Hi-Fi. It was high. It's like H-I like dash F-I.
Yeah.
Bro, those things aren't there anymore.
But anyway, so the whole thing with photography, like when I started getting into photography, it was really when I was doing I was DJing at Sullivan Room and we were doing our breakbeat nights every Thursday, and we were working also with Direct Drive. We used to do like drum and bass, Direct Drive, and then it was called like Hit the Brakes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember that.
I do. It was funny. Like all the parties had like, were called something, you know.
Adrenaline was another one.
Hit Brakes or something. Yeah, there was a bunch. There was like three or four going on at the time.
And I used to take pictures, you know, when I wasn't DJing, of everybody else DJing, and put them up on MySpace, you know, with a little point and shoot camera. And then from there, I ended up buying a better camera because I wanted to take better pictures of like, you know, DJs coming in. We got like Tipper and all those.
You know. Yeah, it was crazy. Do you have, I wonder like, I know like, when was the last time we hung out? Like a year ago in New York?
Yeah.
For a little bit with Maria or somebody?
I think it was the last time you played.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It was probably about a year or so ago. Yeah. Yeah, it was about a year ago. And we went out to that meatball shop, I think.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Went to that beer bar and did some drinking.
We did, but did we, like, we were, like, so, like, it was nothing like 10 years ago when we would have, like, met up. We would have met up at 4:30 and been just, you know, ground zero by 8.
What was the last time?
And then we would have kept going till 4.
And then remember afterwards what we used to do when you used to live here? We used to end up going to, what was that freaking diner at like 4:30 after your juice shows on, we used to call it 2x4. So what, 2nd Avenue and 4th?
What's the name of that? It's like a cheeseburger restaurant now or something.
It's a burger restaurant now.
It's a fry restaurant. They sell fries. No, it's burgers too. No, Leopard Lounge. So Leopard Lounge was where I used to have the party, right near there. I don't remember the name of the quasi fancy or fanciest breakfast place open at 4:30 a.m. at that point. But that was fun. But the Leopard Lounge was the place where I did that party for about a year, and then now that's the hamburger shop. I remember when I came back, dude, and you and I went over there, I think, and I was so depressed.
Yeah,
I've never been so depressed going back to New York in my entire life. It's usually just fun. Good reminiscing, see some friends. I saw the friends. We were hanging out, doing stuff, but it was like I couldn't believe a Leopard Lounge was gone.
Yeah. The soul of New York, man.
Things like that. Yeah, and that was the problem. It wasn't just that was gone. It was things like that. Like Benny's Burritos is gone now, right?
Yeah, Benny's Burritos. We have a lot of memories there, too. That was Sunday fun day we used to have and end up being at Benny's Burritos at one point or another.
All right, so top 5 spots to eat now in New York, man. For the homies listening, top 5 spots to eat, to hang out.
I'll tell you, one of my favorite places is on Smith Street, and it's called the Clover Club. It's just like 1920s, dapper, great cocktail.
On Smith Street.
Fried chicken I've ever had in New York is in that joint.
What's the name of it?
It's called Clover Club.
Clover Club. You always, that's one thing I give you, dude. You always had all the spots. I gave up, dude. I finally gave up when I was living there. I didn't even bother trying to ever come up with where we were going to meet.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I'd always be like, dude, where's the happy, because you always knew like the deals, the happy hours, all that.
Yeah, I didn't know where all the 2-for-1 drinks are.
So this is over in, you're talking over in, it looks like Cobble Hill. This is over in Brooklyn then, yeah?
Yeah, Brooklyn. It's not too far.
Dude, that's in Gowanus area. I guess that area has probably changed a lot now, huh?
Yeah, but Smith Street's banging. It has nothing but bars and clubs.
Yeah, I see like 10 of them. I just put it in on Google Maps and there's like 10 things around it. Zombie Hut, Brooklyn Social, yeah, all that kind of stuff.
I've been to Zombie Hut before. It's like a tiki lounge. You have an outside, pretty dope.
Nice. Dude, I stayed at a hotel over in that area once when I played, not the last time I played there, but like 3 or 4 times ago. I stayed in a hotel over there and we had an after party back there and it was just crazy, man. Like, it was definitely not a good neighborhood, but the hotel was super nice. So maybe it was like one of the first ones in there because I couldn't believe how little it cost and how nice it was when we got there. And I was like, wow. But felt kind of bad that we partied as hard as we did there.
Do you remember what the place was called?
I don't now. I just remember that I could walk nowhere. Nowhere. There was nowhere important I could walk, you know, or like meaningful. So aside from clubbing, DJing, all those good things, dude, we had you and I have had some pretty epic moments around photography. The one that I always remember is us getting thrown out of, what was the name of that place? Max Fish? Is that still there? That's gone.
No, Max Fish has been gone for a while.
Yeah.
Love that.
What's in its place?
Did we get that? I don't even know. I think maybe another bar. That was a really cool spot, man. That's just one of the places they got. That's another one of those spaces that was great and everybody loved it, but, you know, $30,000 rent probably just kicked those people out.
I think it's still there, dude. It says it's still there.
Yeah, but I think it's a different owner now. It's different.
Oh, that may be true, but it's still the same, like, layout and weirdness, right?
They used to have babies, like, little babies that are hanging up from the ceilings, the toy babies. Don't you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no – I'm looking at pictures. There's no toy babies, dude.
It's different. Don't like it now, man.
There's no sketchy toy babies there now. Yeah. So that, you know, that's a spot. Anyone that's trying to get some New York City, you know, DL for their next visit, that's definitely worth a swing by there. I think that bar's got several incarnations and it's just on another round of, you know, trying to carry on that historic thing. Man, now you got looking at all these things. Marshall Stack, that's another one we had some good times at.
Marshall Stack is still there and they still serve Duvel, so it's still one of my great spots. I think you were the person who actually showed me that spot.
I did. It was, in fact, I found that. You remember when I found that, or you will when I tell you. It was after SantaCon, dude.
No.
I'm pretty sure. No. Here's what it was. We went to SantaCon, and which, by the way, if you're listening to this, watching whatever, and you never you hear it later, you got plenty of time till next Christmas. The SantaCon of all SantaCons is in New York City.
Yeah, but
it's nuts. It's nuts.
It got taken over by the bridge and tunnel crew. So,
but is it still big? It's still big, though, right?
It's still big. It got big. It got too big. That was the problem. When we were first doing it, when I did it, I think it was maybe 300. And they were like all like Burning Man, you know, that whole.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. Like, it all convened in Central Park after a good solid 4 to 5 hours of drinking. And then it's like 10,000 Santas wasted.
Yeah.
In Central Park. And you could tell like every resident that was not dressed as Santa, every resident of Manhattan was so annoyed because the trains are taking over. Like, they're just tired of it. Like, by, you know, after the 7th hour. And then it just bleeds into the nighttime, and there's Santas everywhere.
At any time in the night, you're gonna find all the people from SantaCon at one point or another in a strip joint. That was the fun.
Yeah, I've never been. I've never been dressed in a costume that long ever in my life.
Wait, you're Santa, man.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Where is it?
Well, we have. Well, I have a Santa suit. You know, of course, I have the Santa suit left over, man. So I took it to Burning, you know, like my trips to Burning Man, I can't say that I've been a costume guy there. So like last year I decided, well, I'll take every costume that I already own. And regardless of whether it makes sense or not, I'll just wear it one night. So so I DJed every night last time I went, except for one night maybe. And then anyway, so one of the nights I wore Santa outfit. in the desert. It was fun. Yeah, I said, Burning Man, Black Rock City. Yeah, it's in the desert. So, you know, it wasn't hot. In fact, the Santa suit was really warm, so it was kind of sweet. Yeah, it was a little tough riding the bicycle around in the Santa suit. Yeah.
I'm sure that was the last time you wore that Santa outfit, though. Sure.
My hat got caught in the bike wheel.
Because
I had a real long, like, elf hat thing, you know? And I still have it. And no, it's not the last time I wore it, dude. I wore it.
I don't believe you, actually. Did you bring it to, like, a place to get clean?
No.
I just wore it to a Christmas party. But I did take it to get cleaned after that. Yeah.
See, you go into a Christmas party and you literally have just nothing but dust on this thing where it doesn't even look ready.
Yeah, well, but I have a friend that has like a sexy Santa suit, you know, like chick thing. And you know, so I just kind of wear the frumpy dude Santa suit, you know, and it's her show and we go party. That's like our thing, like each year we do that. Yeah. It's a good time. But, you know, that's just because I want to relive, you know, SantaCon New York. It's the way all these things are, right? First time you do something and you just kind of like, you know, it takes you a while to let that go, man. These good memories.
How many did you do? Did you just do that one?
Just one, man. I've been trying to relive it for like 8 years.
I got all the pictures from that, man. Anytime you want them.
Yeah, so awesome, dude.
Album cover.
That's what I was going to ask you about your photography, man. And you know, that's what, like, you totally, like, took off. Ha ha ha! I knew you were gonna have something, dude.
Yeah.
Bring that up there again, my friend. Wait, dude, I gotta actually take a picture of you holding that.
Hold on, let me fix this.
Yo, I have this. I literally have this hanging in my bedroom.
Oh my god!
This is badass.
Wait, put it up there one more time. I want to take a picture of it with you two in the background. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's the most cool. Wow. This night?
Oh, I remember. That was a roller. Have you been to, is that still go on? So that was so anybody that just saw that picture, that was just the beginning of it. You see the shorts we're wearing and all that stuff. And I ran into that sexy African American chick, man. I was like all wound up about that. Oof. Man, you took pictures of it, dude, and then I couldn't like stop looking at the pictures for like a year, of us all hanging out. That was a good time, dude. But yeah, we were all roller skating basically in the basement of some real nice hotel, right? What was the name of that thing called?
I forgot which hotel it was, but it was like a really nice hotel in, I think it was Midtown, and the basement they turned into. Well, the basement was like venue. So Erica bought you there, actually, that in that same hotel where we were for the Disco Derby. They did like a secret party. Mm. I saw her there.
That what it was called, the Disco Derby?
It was called Down and Derby.
Down and Derby.
Yeah, you guys have to go there, too. I think they started from somewhere in
– So Kelly, like Elliot, I don't know how much Elliot's told you, but I guess now that I'm thinking about this, like Elliot and I have had like – You know, like friends, and especially in the music scene, come and go. And I think Elliot and I have had, like, now that I think about it, probably at least three, maybe four, like, phases of friends that Elliot and I stayed friends through.
Yeah.
And then they kind of came and went for whatever reason, you know. I don't ever remember really any drama. It was just people got married or, you know, moved away or whatever. And then it's like there's always this period where, like, it's like there was a squad of, like, six or seven. And then there's me and Elliot. And then we find another squad. And then it's me and Elliot. So that's like the delineators.
Yeah.
Because
man.
Remember, like the whole that. So as an example, like that whole crew from WMC, that party we were talking, that particular one we were talking about. Like, remember, like it wasn't long after that WMC, they vanished, man.
Well, yeah.
That group was like short lived.
Well,
you know, or that was kind of on the end.
You know how all that music drama goes, you know,
yeah.
And people that are thrown at night start fighting with each other. And we had an issue like that. And
yeah. Yeah, I guess like you, me, and then maybe like, you know, Eric Wayfor's been kind of consistent along the whole way too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob
coming out.
Rob from Downbeat Records and
Is he still doing his like crazy jump out the window photo stuff?
Yeah, I think so. From what I see, he's still doing
it. It was like huge on Instagram for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, he actually got one of his photos on like a Nike shirt. So it's like him hanging off a building, taking a picture where you can see your legs. You ever see those pictures where you're like in New York and
Speaking of that, now how crazy like is like the whole tech thing, like during the time we've known each other, dude, I always love to reminisce on this one because it really doesn't move that fast to me because I do a lot of tech stuff, you know, so I see it incrementally go. But if I sit here and talk to like you, like we've been friends more than 10 years, it's like, you know, there's these phases related to technology, right? Like, so you're talking about that style of photo that he did, right? And it like blew up and there was commercials, but you don't see any of that anymore. No. Like nobody cares, dude. Nobody cares because you can, everybody does it or, you know, now we got we got people scaling buildings with no ropes.
Yeah,
and they jump off with a little parachute or something, you know, or die. And it's like, that's all, you know. But the other thing that really exploded, dude, which changed a lot was YouTube. I mean, YouTube's been there the whole time. But, dude, it's crazy now. Just like we're streaming this live now.
It's good because I find I learned so much stuff on YouTube. And I know you've talked about this in other shows. I've listened to some of your other shows. But YouTube, I mean, when it comes to, you know, in you guys' case, music production, because you guys are in.
Yeah.
When it comes to me, like the majority of things that I learned in photography were either looking it up on, you know, different websites or looking at videos on YouTube. I learned everything from YouTube.
You can learn anything.
You put in anything. Like, hey, I want to pick a lock. Just, you know, go on YouTube and you'll figure out how to do it and get in your house and not have to pay somebody like $500 to get in. So I think YouTube has been amazing in terms of getting everybody the information that before you either have to pay a shitload of money to do, or you had to like read all these books or get taught by all these people, where now you can just like turn on your computer and go on YouTube.
Yeah. Have you, I think YouTube's probably going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much information on there, man. I was listening to this debate about it today. It was Joe Rogan and one of his guests from one of his last few episodes of his podcast. Anyway, apparently Google, I guess, had invited a bunch of people to New York to paid for them to all come together, like some of the big content creators to come there and kind of discuss the censorship issues and or not, you know, that kind of stuff. Pretty interesting, you know. What a mess, though, it is, especially with music and licensing and other people's content. Like now, you know, it's like here's a tech evolution example that I think is nuts, dude. So like probably right around maybe a little before we met each other, you know, Napster came and like the poor kid was like thrown in jail. He's like 21, right? Or 20. For like a day, he's thrown in jail and lost all his money or whatever, you know, that he had made through Napster or whatever it was, you know, and that was like such a big deal. Right. And now it's like, and he just created the application basically. Right. And so now you've got, like there's 100 apps for your phone, dude, that you can use to just mash up content from wherever you want, licensed or not, and then push it wherever you want. Nobody's pulling it down, you know? How crazy is that in that short period of time, dude? That like that's how that sent, you know, because what are you going to do? Put everybody in jail, I guess? I don't know. Like how do you, you know, I guess that's the problem, right? Is if enough people do it, you can't like, how does that affect you with like photography? You post pictures online. How does that work in the photography world?
I haven't gotten into that issue of someone like stealing a photo and using it for other purposes. So I'm nobody to kind of ask that question personally.
Yeah.
But I've seen that is a big issue, but that's more of an issue like when you're shooting events that have musicians and musicians find your photos and like them and then like put them on Instagram.
Like something somebody cares about. And like pop culture.
And you can't do that, you know, like it, and just saying you're going to credit somebody for something, you can't, because you know, it's hard for a photographer to go to a venue and actually shoot those photos. A lot of times they have to ask permission, they get to be in like the pit to do that. So when somebody just grabs it and throws it on like Instagram, but it's really easy to do that. it's really hard to get Instagram or some other websites to like pull it down, especially if you're like a big time artist.
It's kind of like, I mean,
because I was gonna say, I usually take it with watermark, post it.
I mean, I've definitely heard of some really famous people, you know, like trying to get something taken down. It's usually because it's, you know, sexually explicit or something like that they don't feel complements their image, right? And fair enough. But so I guess there are ways to, you know, pay some agencies to go to all these content, you know, systems and give cease and desist and take stuff down, but you're talking a lot of money to do that too. So on average, like you said, unless it's maybe a famous artist, but it's kind of a bummer, right? If the photographer, because how do photographers get paid for that kind of stuff? Is it always for hire, or is it sometimes they just doing it for free, but they get the use of the pictures, or how does that work?
Because it's their pictures. You know, like if you get to go into, especially if you get to go into the pit, and I'm not talking about somebody's just hanging out in the crowd and just taking a photo. But if like you get in,
right,
you're taking those photos because you're gonna
like with a photo pass, you know, proper camera.
Photo pass. A lot of times you want to sell them to the artist. You know, like yeah, taking these great photos and you show it to them and they want to, you know, they want to buy them, or you want to make some like merchandise from them because they are your photo. You could sell them.
But you can. Okay, as the photographer, if you had a credited, you know, an accredited or whatever you call it, you know, photo pass for that event, is then generally is that how that works, that they may not pay you to come to the event, but you're able to use the photos you take? That's interesting.
You think like that's
what's the criteria for getting a photo pass? Like what's the difficult, how does that,
sometimes you just gotta know somebody who knows somebody, from a magazine or, you know, some web-based something.
The press pass, I guess, is what that kind of is.
Just call up and ask. A lot of photographers kind of lie and get themselves like these photo passes or like fake it and get in there and get, you know, they're able to get all these like great photos and whatnot. And a lot of times too, those, you just put it towards your like repertoire of like all your different photos, so you get hired by other bands and whatnot. Like, look at this photo I just took of, you know, whoever this big guy is.
Yeah. Huh. Do you know anybody that's a professional photographer, like full time? It's all they do.
I know some people who did it, and they actually like shot the president and shit. Worked for this.
They starved to death, and now they don't do it anymore.
other stuff, but other photographers. Yeah, I do actually have some photographer friends of mine that do it for a living, but they're doing more like, you know, they're shooting weddings, you know. 3 or 4 weddings a weekend. They're making a bank amount of money.
I think that's good money. I mean, that's just like if you DJ. I DJed one wedding in my life. It was really good money, but I just couldn't do it anymore. But if you go after that as a business, that's definitely lucrative.
That's where to go, man. You know, like it's not even just you shooting it. You end up getting a couple photographers. Like I was a second photographer. So if you just get some really good photographers to work for you.
Yeah.
You know, once you know they're all right, you put them off to do this event, to shoot a wedding. And, you know, you're getting paid anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 for this wedding. You give them you pocket the rest.
I mean, I guess that's even, you know, to the couple getting married, I guess it's way more important even than the DJ, because that's like going to be their shit for life or whatever, right?
Yeah. That's why they say
50% chance that's their shit for life.
50%. I think it's a little less than that, actually.
Yeah, I think some of those stats are kind of bullshit, but I've heard people say that's not really true because they can get skewed by including people that are serial divorcees. 3-4, you know, 3-4 marriages, whatever. Yeah. Hey, speaking of presidential things, did you guys, were you white knuckling it last night watching the State of the Union address?
I didn't watch shit.
No.
Who watches TV anymore, dude?
Early for the
food. I had some other shit to do last night. What the hell was I doing
night? Yo, dude, I had to. You're like, you know, I had to like clean the sink. And
I literally had an appointment, and then I went out drinking, and then I came home. I even forgot that he came on until like 12 o'clock at night. By that time, it was over.
I listened to a I listened to a podcast today. I think it was Anderson Cooper or someone sounded like him. All it was like 10 people like shouting at each other, but and poor Anderson trying to like sort them out, moderate. But I realized it was from yesterday during the day. I guess they were doing some quasi live coverage or whatever, and then they had republished it as a podcast. I guess it came today, and it was just funny because I was thinking to myself, it was just like background noise while I was doing, you know, rearranging stuff in here today. And I was like, man, I'm glad I didn't take time to watch that last night. Like how disappointed I would have been if I had a six pack or something and I was all stoked, you know, got my Apple TV out with my YouTube rocking.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this garbage?
State of the Union, baby.
Yeah. Were there any walkouts? That's the only thing I thought would have been interesting. Were there any walkouts? Like there was hearsay that in this case Democrat Party may have some people that, you know, walk out.
Yeah, but did you happen to see the video someone took of the reactions?
Yeah, is it like
one of those epilogue, those like compilations of all the reactions? It's like, dude, I gotta go find him. That's the funniest thing.
Like, and then he looks off into the distance, and you can see him just go.
That's the funniest thing. Kelly, there's absolutely no comparison between any of us here and the Orange Man, except like, you know, your hair is kind of approaching, you know,
approaching Donald.
It's approaching the Trump wave.
That was mean.
How about that orange? How about look at those beers? That's sweet. I'm here.
Beers. What are you drinking?
We're gonna take it. I'm not gonna leave, but we're gonna take an intermission for another unofficial sponsor. You guys, looks like you have Lagunitas.
You're watching way too much Rogan, man.
No. You don't get what I was about to say because I think that shit is so annoying. When they have these sponsored things, like in the middle, they'll be like, we'll be right back. We have a 5-minute break. We have to do our sponsors. I just think it's so annoying, dude. Yeah,
do you remember Howard Stern when he first came on? Snapple was his like sponsor. Yeah, so like every half an hour, he'd be like,
was it really?
About to Snapple, but yo, if it wasn't for Snapple, we would not have Howard Stern.
Could be. I mean, I've got no problem with sponsors. I'll take them. That's why every now and then. But I'm just – all I'm saying is like – and Kelly can tell you because not only is this Health Aid kombucha in like 10 of our episodes, but specifically the ginger lemon. So get it together, Health Aid kombucha people.
You should have someone write them.
Throw us some dough. We'll sell three bottles for you.
Can I just do the Two Hearted Ale? So maybe I'll get some free beer and some
money. I love it, dude. I love it.
Actually met the Lagunitas rep in San Francisco.
Did you?
You know what so here's something I don't understand about the ad placement. And now I understand they have a marketing message that they would like the podcaster to read, for example, right? But if you've ever listened to Joe's stuff recently, like I'm not even sure he cares. Like he must just have a bunch of people trying to, you know, get his 18 million listeners or whatever, because he'll start reading the script and be like, this is stupid. This doesn't sound like something I would say. And then he'll just be like, look, I don't know what he's actually doing because I'm not watching the video, but you know, if you've heard him, it's pretty funny. He'll act like he's throwing it aside and be like, this is bullshit. Fold it up, throw it away. He's like, look, I'm telling you, they're nice watches. Go buy one. So my point is, like, when you think about it, really, like, if we were actually sponsored by, you know, whatever, Mama Chia or Health Aid Kombucha, like, would it really be any different if we stopped and did a proper, like, 1 minute, you know, read the script versus just hanging out, you know, drinking it the whole time?
Do that and just bring you up. Hey, this is good shit.
I think it would be better that way. All right, sponsorship. 3 minutes and 20 seconds is over.
So can I ask you a question? No,
what's that?
Let me ask you a question. I actually have like multiple questions. One of which is, you know,
no, I do not wear underwear.
Well, I was gonna talk about something you do wear, because I see that's another Yoda shirt, and it seems like every podcast I see you with some sort of version of that Yoda shirt.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
No, you know, it might just be because sometimes I'm
feeling the force.
Here. Sometimes I'm here.
Who's wearing the shirt?
it's not a different. It's just, you see his head sometimes. Sometimes his eyes. Hey.
So do you wear anything underneath? Like your you know, you could be completely butt ass naked, and no.
Yeah, I'm all I'm wearing is a t-shirt right now, folks.
Are you free balling?
Yeah, we don't wear pants. Yeah, you.
It feels great. You know what? So last year, maybe around this time, I don't know. It's probably a year ago. I remember sending Kelly a text message, and I was like, oh, my God, I got a pair of pants. They're my favorite pants in the whole entire world. I'm never wearing anything else. And she remembered, and I'm wearing those right now. In fact, there's two things I've done this with, and I want to know if you've done this with anything. I have some shoes, and I have some pants, particular kind of pants or particular kind of shoes. And I loved them so much, and I was so concerned that they would stop making them that I bought extra pairs.
17.
You have 17 pairs?
No, not of the same shoe. I have two of the shoes and two of the pants. Same exact color, style, size, everything.
I think everybody's done that, man. Once you find something that like fits you right and feels good, man, just like load them up.
Yeah, but we both got camo pants at the same time. So every time we went to a place, we were both wearing camo pants. And I'm wearing them now.
They're comfortable.
What time is it there for y'all? Oh, shoot. It's approaching 9 o'clock for y'all, huh?
Yeah, what time is it?
So how come you never – let's see. What else? What other interesting things have we done, man? This is like us sitting at the bar. For anybody listening or watching this, this is like one of my oldest – this is like one of my longest – yeah, it's like one of my longest – Elliot is one of my longest term, like, happy hour, hang out, do things, homies.
There's seven people looking right now.
Have you ever explained to your viewers like what's up with those sideburns?
I don't even know what's up with them.
How long have you had the sideburns? How long?
Have I had them ever since you knew me, Elliot?
Yeah. You know, remember, like, just to tell everybody out there, the majority of bars, dive bars you're going to walk into in New York that are still there that when Wes was here – I promise you, those sideburns stickers are going to be somewhere in that bathroom.
Yeah,
that's probably true. And I'm on like the fourth version of them. You know, they're still pretty fly. You know, like
sideburns.
It is funny though. That's the latest. That album cover is 2 years old. But that's the latest incarnation of the head with the burns for the sticker. But yeah, dude, it's like there's been times, you know, I've had them. Let's put it this way. I've had them long enough to where I think they went out of fashion and came back in.
Well, I remember hanging out with you before, and you said random people have come up to you and been like, yo, I know you from a sticker.
Yeah.
Literally random.
Yeah, totally. 100%. Well, it happens here. I'll have people that'll be like, I'll just be like hanging out somewhere at a venue, you know, and someone will come up and be like, dude, I got the frisbee, I got the sticker,
the
I got yo-yo, because I did yo-yos.
I think I got a yo-yo here.
Yeah,
dude. They've been around, man. They're a lot out there. You see, what I'm doing here, Elliot, is I'm going for like, it's like the slow approach, right? Like I'm taking my own sweet time, like maybe 40, 50 years I'm taking to do my marketing. And like one day after everybody that's like, you know, been hot, like every 10 years that I've been doing this, I'll be like last man standing. And then I'll just maybe I'll sell out stadiums because I'll be like the oldest dude in the world DJing. What other question did you have that you think our awesome listeners may be interested in?
So, like, did you think from the time that you started DJing and doing all this marketing that you were going to play this long game and you were going to, you know, at one point or another going to be in a position you are now?
Never.
first doing it?
Back when you're
never, ever. Yeah, I never, and I still don't. I mean, Kelly will tell you, like, I work hard and I plan and I, you know, I miss some meetings every now and then, but, you know, but no, I don't get, you know, there's things that piss me off here and there, but I don't get too wound up in the music business delivering on plans, you know, man, you'll be let down a lot, dude. If you get, you know, it's not like, because, you know, I've done other things too, you know, obviously, like my tech business and stuff like that. And, you know, yeah, those things are like way more like you can make a plan and reasonably execute, you know, over the course of 3 months or 6 months or something like that. It's just not, it's never happened for me like that ever in the music thing, to answer your question. So it's always just been like, I mean, there's always been like times I'd get excited and be like, well, that might be cool to be Carl Cox, you know, but it's not like I sat down and like drafted this plan to be, I don't know, man. Yeah. Nope.
You always work. You're always working. I don't know if I want to say like you're always working the angle, cause that might not be the right term to use, but like you are always working on like, what else can we do? Like, what can I do and how can I get everybody involved? Like with, I felt like with the Juice Party, you were kind of like,
yeah,
hey, you got, you know, you got in touch with all the locals like me, we're all friends. You're like, yo, let's do a party. You know, I'm going to throw a party and all you guys are going to like DJ in it.
Well, okay. So fair point. So, if you're asking for like a little perspective on that, I mean, that's just kind of been my personality from, you know, when I was brought up as a kid, my parents kind of, you know, encouraging me to be inclusive of everyone. And then, but as I continue to, you know, mature, whatever, I think it's just part of me, but I like it. I do like that style, you know, in anybody, because I think like for me personally, like one of my jokes is always like, hey, you know, you could have all these plans and whatever your goal is, to be rich, to be famous, to be all this, whatever, have your entourage, whatever it is, you know, like, whether those things are me or not. But like for me, it's always been like, actually just like conversations like this, man, you know, like, you know, if all that doesn't work out, like, you don't, you know, for me, I don't want to be, what's the point in owning an island, dude, if nobody wants to come hang out on it with you?
Yeah.
Sure. Right. And which seems pretty obvious. Like we're all kind of like, I think cut from that cloth, but it's not that way for some people, man. There's a lot of people that will just walk all over or not really think too much, I guess, you know? And it's like, kind of like, well, you see, in fact, now with social media being the way it is and like the younger and younger generations kind of, you know, automatically putting more and more of what's on their mind, you know, kind of publicly out there, especially Twitter and these kind of things. Like I see it more and more frequently in Kelly, I don't know if you do, but where you'll see like some DJ have a meltdown, man, like depression and, you know, from touring and, you know, kind of like they'll be sort of publicly questioning, you know, people's authenticity and whatever.
You're talking young or old, like, you know, some
younger, they're usually younger. Yeah. They're usually younger. Maybe they've been, you know, maybe like they blew up and they've been on a pretty serious, you know, touring, you know, kind of thing for a year, two, three, maybe. You know, the big festival circuit, which I've never really done the big festival circuit.
Do you think the problem is because they didn't have enough like meat in their bones from like just experience? Like, you know, like not, I don't, you know, I'm not doing my DJ thing anymore.
But right.
You started small. You made friends. You kind of learned how things were, how things worked. Before getting to a point, I mean, you're saying right now that you haven't reached that point yet. But you know, you're probably what, in like you would say like the middle, maybe middle ground.
Yeah.
And maybe you're saying like these younger people are they're jumping. Maybe somehow, you know, they got to rise up before having all that experience that like you had.
Probably. Yeah, I'm sure that causes some of the burnout, you know, and the sort of public display of sort of questioning, you know, and the people I'm talking about, I don't even know them personally. It doesn't sound like they're bad people or it was their fault. I just think it's like more what you said, right? It's like this rush and they don't really have anybody around them that kind of, you know, it helps guide that experience. So yeah. So in a way it's kind of cool. Like, you know, I don't know. I find it kind of cool, like being a little bit older and kind of having some of that stuff happen, because maybe, you know, from that perspective you're talking about, maybe I handled it a little bit different, a little better, you know, it, the ups and downs don't bother me as much, 'cause I kind of know they're coming. You know,
young people just they're you know, they think everything's going to stay gold for, you know, forever, and it doesn't.
Yeah, really, it's happen. Experience, you know. I'll tell you what, speaking of that, it's interesting, like, you know, I don't know how much you follow like all the cryptocurrency, you know, and Bitcoin and all the, you know, all that kind of stuff that's right. Gone on.
I'm you know, by it, but I don't know, it's looking pretty bad right now, but I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting technology. It's also interesting, but it's super
volatile. You know,
well, it's talked about a lot, but it's really full of like this age group we're talking about, maybe below even 25 years old. It's like a ton of people supporting all that. You know, it's kind of their movement, really. You know, like in terms of the major supporters of it, you've clearly got people that, you know, gamble on it and whatever, that are in it, you know, for the quick buck and all these variations. But there's definitely, I mean, I follow a number of the different coins and currencies, like, you know, the foundations or the orgs that, you know, create and manage those open source software projects. I follow, you know, maybe 10 of them on Twitter. And then you see all the cross chatter, and sometimes, you know, like sometimes I'll just sit there and like, it's so funny, man. And, but you can just tell, like, you know, and if you look at a few people's profiles, it's a very young demographic that's like the majority into that. I would say under 25, even a lot of teenagers and that. It's really interesting. I think it's really cool because the technology is definitely very sound that's underneath it all. I think none of us would probably disagree that one day, or even all kind of already, like, we, you know, the debit card is like, right? Like, who uses cash? Like, how often do you really have a wad of cash in your pocket? You know? So it makes sense. It totally makes sense. And the way it's working makes sense. But that generation, you know, there's, you know, a big group of them that are pretty, you know, pretty like adamant that, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to remove some banks from the system, you know, and just be able to do this without banks, you know, exchange money and all this stuff.
You honestly think it's that particular type of monetary thing is gonna stay on some sort of plateau where you're gonna be able to shift around money and not worry that, you know, today it's $100 and tomorrow it's only gonna be a dollar?
Well, that's a problem. That volatility is a problem, sure. But I do think the fundamental way that technology works with the cryptographic element to it, which is what helps to eliminate, for example, the bank, the trusted party. Yeah, that it's here to stay for sure. The technology and the math and science behind the way it works is definitely here to stay. You know, but you're right. It's gonna, you know, to be you know, for your debit card to be, you know, based on Bitcoin or whatever, that's gonna have to. It's got to stabilize, right? So that part's not here yet, but that's just a matter of time. I mean, it's going to happen.
Well, if they're not young, then maybe in 10 or 15 years we can like go back to this. But I don't know. I end up seeing some. I don't know if I saw like a clip from a news program. I think on CNBC financials or whatnot. You know, a couple of like billionaires were having a conversation. They were saying like you should take at least 2% of your earnings and put it in Bitcoin, because it is. Yeah. It's gonna, you know, it's gonna be the thing. But people now are, you know, at first everybody wanted to jump in there when it went over 10,000 and dropped the way it did.
Yeah.
Everyone just ran for the hills.
Oh, it's crazy. I'm gonna, you know, without getting into all of it here, I did a little experiment. Like I've been involved in a number of different kinds of tech things, a lot of it music, a lot of it other stuff, you know, for most of my adult life. And a lot of the things that I've come across in those adventures, you know, are the underpinnings for how we arrived. In fact, when I was talking about Napster before, you know, Napster was based on essentially a technology called a torrent. You may even remember a BitTorrent was kind of one of these peer-to-peer open source file sharing things for a long time, movies, all that. So that technology, the way that is decentralized, is one of the key kind of not that specific technology, but that idea and that way that functions across different peers rather than having to go through a central like Amazon.com. That's a big piece of how this stuff works. And I think that's important, you know, because it goes, I think what people haven't totally realized yet, and it took me a little while, was that it's not just about the currency. It's also the same technology is also being leveraged. For example, there's one called Ethereum, and Ethereum, yeah. You know, Ether is the coin or token, if you will. And while it does have kind of characteristics and value like Bitcoin, it also has other elements to it that are more easily, you know, people are more easily able to get it to do utility type things. So I'll give you a quick example that I think is, you know, why this stuff will just continue and it's gonna be cool is like, you know, you can with something like Bitcoin or a lot of these you hear about, like they're essentially all coins are equal. Let's put it that way, right? Like all coins are created equal. But Ethereum has a way, for example, to create a coin where they can all be equal, like one Ether is one Ether no matter who holds it. And so that's like something you could exchange. But they have another way to do it, which is called like a ERC-721, I think is the code name for it. And if that's what it's based on, then everyone is unique. And you heard of this CryptoKitties game by any chance? So yeah. So instead of just trading coins, you know, like Bitcoin or that kind of style, essentially they created these unique images of like cartoon kittens. And those are essentially the token. Right? Because it's all digital. So you can make whatever you want represent the token. Right? And so go look at CryptoKitties sometime, dude. And so every single token is unique. So they're not like fungible. They can't, like this cat doesn't equal that cat, but they're all essentially a coin. It's pretty interesting. So that seems crazy, like just a game. But I'll give you one good example, you know, would be like property, right? So every piece of land around the world has you know, one parcel and one identification, right? So that would be a great example for something that could be using that kind of technology. And then you wouldn't have to run down to the county courthouse, you know, to find out what your parcel number is, right? You'd have digital tracking of that. It's interesting. You're going to hear more about it throughout our life, that's for sure. No show. Anyway, my point was, my summary to you is going to be, so what I did, because I was really interested in it when I kind of learned about it, I actually got hacked and ransom was requested in Bitcoin.
Ransomware.
Yeah, I got ransomware. And that was when I was like, oh, I was like, this is awesome. What is this criminal shit? It was a Windows PC, by the way, not my Macs. Anyway, it was a virtual machine. But anyway. So that was when I started to learn about it. Yeah, and that was last year. So then I after a while, you know, I'm watching all the stuff and I had a little money to gamble. I thought, you know what, I'll do this for 90 days. I'm going to take a real like scientific approach, a couple different ways to put some money on it. And I made some money on it. I'm going to write a 90 days in crypto article soon. I'll write it and publish it. I'll send it to you.
Wait, back up. What the hell happened with the ransomware?
The ransom. You can't just blow over
did
that.
Did you pay the guy or?
No.
No,
I didn't lose any data. I just, because I have everything backed up and stuff. So I just was like, whatever. I just deleted the virtual machine and started over.
How the hell did you, how did that happen?
Yeah, what did they hold ransom?
Just got hacked. What they do, well, there's many ways it can be done. But the really popular one last year was they have code names for all of them, but the strains of them, if you will. But this Krypton 27 was like the code name for this one. And basically what it does is it's a hard disk lock. So when you go to boot that machine up, it just gives you a screen instead of the normal booting that you would see. It just gives you a screen which disables everything. You can't do anything. And the screen just says, you know.
How did you even get the malware though?
Because that virtual machine I don't really protect. It's not like, you know, like I said, there's nothing that I don't have backed up. So it's not like I have typical antivirus stuff on there, but I don't really, it wasn't like a real serious device that I was concerned about.
So are you, I mean, I'm assuming you are because it's your music, but like with your music and stuff, do you have it back? Like I have my shit backed up on 3 or 4 different drives. I got so many drives in my house with all my photography.
He has a drive connected to his laptop. Like it's just on there. It's stuck on there.
I have a whole, there's a whole episode of this show. anybody interested, go back and look for the episode with me and Deckard, Keith Harris, DJ Deckard from San Francisco, and Kelly was on there. And we spent an excruciating like 3 hours talking about this.
It was awesome though. I loved it.
I'm like, dude, I'm not kidding. Look at my computer.
Yeah. Well, I have, yeah. So to answer your question, I have two, well, my monitor is actually sitting on them because they're in big cases. But yes, I have two different RAID arrays.
I got everything hooked up to a NAS as well. So I got my NAS right now is like, I think I got 16 gigs and it's a 2-gig NAS. So I got all my shit here plus, you know, at least 4 or 5, everything's backed up in at least three different places. I got some in my safe.
Yeah. So I'm looking at, so I have these like devices, they're like swappable drives.
Yeah.
So
I have two.
Yeah, they're pairs of probably the same kind of thing. So they're minor pairs of 6 terabyte drives, and so I can swap those out and you know take one to an offsite location, shit like that. Yeah, I think it's very important if you have stuff you care about, whether you're amateur or semi pro or pro. Yeah, absolutely, man. I would say this: there's no you know, it if you lose all your shit from something like that and you had no backups, I mean. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like it's been talked about so much by so many people.
Yeah.
Like, and on that episode we did, like we even talked about like super affordable solutions, you know, $100, you know, doesn't have to be $1,000, you know, solution like we might have, for something over larger volume and larger period of time.
What are you talking about? Well, like just a regular, like a WD drive, like a Western Digital.
Yeah. They're all pretty basic drives. It's just the housing that they're in, and you know, like the ones we have are just in a housing that lets you configure a RAID where drives replicate each other and different advanced things. Those start to cost more. But a good old fashioned external, like I saw stuck to your laptop, you know, shit, you can get a 3 terabyte drive nowadays for like $100.
Yeah,
$150. Or go, you know, go find one on eBay or something. It's not like, you know, they're not bad. It's just, you know, you'll know when it goes bad because it'll die.
Have any die on you?
I've had 20. Yeah, I've had 20 die.
Knock on wood, I've not had any. You know, people keep talking about, oh, you know, it's not going to last, not going to last. And granted, I do get a lot of drives, like, in my lifetime, I've bought so many. So I take some, like, out of, you know, I take them out of commission. But I haven't had any drives on me, like, get corrupted to the point where they die.
I've had the Lacy, I think it's how you pronounce it, the brand I use, I have used for quite a long time. Once I went to the RAID configs, I've used those for a long time. I've had maybe 2 out of a 6, at least 5-year history of using them. I've probably had 2 individual drives die for some reason. Yeah, but you know, it happens. You know, it's not like
swappable that you were able to actually, they were rated. So you were able to just put a new one in and get all your.
So it's like the way I pair mine out, I have like one set that's the operational where all the working files that I'm using and making music and all that stuff and a little bit of video work, like that's all those operational ones. So if one of those dies, I could just take the one out, you know, get the new drive or get that repaired by refurb and pop it back in. And you don't skip a beat. Yeah. As soon as you get the new drive and put it back in. Yeah. As soon as you get the new spare and put it back in, it just starts replicating.
Yeah.
But we keep a lot in G drive too. So
what's that?
I mean, most of the juice stuff is in G drive. I mean, maybe not your music.
Yeah. But that's just for sharing. Yeah. I mean, that's all backed up in the same way.
Yeah. It's there, you know?
Right. But it's all backed up in the same way. I don't use Dropbox, G Drive, or any of that shit as a backup ever.
That's kind of good to ask this question. Like, what do you think about the whole iCloud, you know, shit? I still get kind of weirded out by putting shit on iCloud. Like,
dude, it's like, I don't know, man. Like which part freaks you out? The fact that all of our shit's out there?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, something just feels off. Like, I like to have it in my hand. Like, I want it.
You think you're
going to
get some ransom for it? You think somebody's
going to
get it?
No, I don't know. It's just, you know.
No, I agree.
I don't even know where to start with that one, man.
Well, how do you, I mean, you have.
I use them, but like I said, you know, like when Kelly, you know, mentioned it, I use them for collaboration with people and whatnot, but all that stuff I have backed up the same exact way I have everything that's local audio type stuff. I back up everything, dude. Because of different things I work on, I've got Google Drive, I've got iCloud stuff, I've got Dropbox stuff. I've even got OneDrive shit from Microsoft, right? So it's like, I just map them all and back them all up the same as everything else. Make sure I have it all. Yeah. Yeah, because you never know. You know, your mom goes and deletes your financial planning document.
I like Dropbox because when I was in San Francisco, the fault line that we played first years ago, I dropped my laptop in the middle of that trip, and I had to play in Seattle.
You dropped your laptop.
Yeah, and it was done. So having something like Dropbox where I can go in there and make USBs or whatever if I had to, because Seattle was kind of a disaster. I mean, we pulled it out, but.
So let me ask you a question. When you're dealing with, like, if you're bringing your laptop for a show, do you actually have all your music in your laptop? Because normally I try not to save too much on my laptop and deal with either having drives or having a hard drive that I plug in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now everything's in Dropbox because of that situation. But before, I had everything on my laptop, and I was still preparing, like, what I wanted to play in Seattle. We had already been done with San Francisco, so that's on my USB, but I didn't want to play the same thing. So now everything's in
Dropbox. That's very nice of you.
I know, right? So now I have Dropbox because if I go someplace and something like that happens again.
No, that makes sense, yeah.
My laptop right now, like I have a desktop too right now. My laptop, I would say I bring, it's kind of like, it's just a really expensive way to have something to do on a plane, you know, and listen to music on a plane. And I really need a Mac for that because I have it at home.
Yeah.
So I just get like 250 gigs on.
Kelly, do you have two computers or just one?
I have my desktop at home.
Oh, you do. I used to be the same, and then I just switched at the end of last year. So I got one of the new MacBook Pros.
Yeah.
The super fast ones.
There was a lot of complaints about those, huh?
I love mine.
This backup and just get a TV monitor and.
That's all I have now. Yeah, that's all I have now. I sold the iMac. The iMac, I had one of the Retina, you know, 5K ones. It was awesome for a couple of years. Great computer. If you don't really need it to be mobile, great computer. But, as you know, Kelly, we talked quite a bit about syncing and stuff in different episodes as well when the questions came up. And I just got tired of doing some of that. I mean, it's possible to do it. But, you know, if you can have a laptop that's fast enough to do everything you want to do, it's fine. So.
This whole program and I erased all my
yes, she, I thought, yeah.
everything so
by accident
just configuration thing the other thing we forget to do on here, which I'm totally kidding about, is like you hear a lot of podcasts when they start and they have like a disclaimer, you know, it's not financial advice, it's not this, it's not that, it's not anything. I'm thinking to myself, if you start listening to the Westmith Variety Show and you think there's going to be anything said here that you should actually go and do, I'm not sure any disclaimer would help.
Wait, I can tell you one thing. All right, so backing everything up, that's one thing. But one of my hugest pet peeves that I hear of people doing is that they get like all their equipment or their computer stolen. Because they put it in the back of a car.
It's always in the trunk.
It's always in the trunk or always in the back. Like, oh my God, if this is like your business, get insurance on it. I pay $150 a year to get insurance.
It is that's a good price. I mean, you used to be in insurance too, though. I think maybe a lot of people don't know that you can get it that affordably.
MusicProInsurance.com. It does like 20,000. It's no matter where you are. It's your computers, your backups, your information, your CDJs, your controllers, your turntables, whatever you do.
That's sweet. That's really sweet.
You can get that outside of, because I was thinking about it for the photography, but you can get it through like the home insurance and whatnot.
Do you do that for your photography equipment?
Good. Yeah. I have my, you know, I don't know how many thousands. I probably have like.
Lots.
Actually, I don't want to bring that up. All right.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I was like, dude. I was like, yeah, dude, we're just broadcasting to the world.
I did the math and monetarily know about how much everything in my apartment.
Yeah, sure.
And I do have insurance to cover way more than that. So if something happens here, and it's it even works if you're outside the house,
yeah,
depending
the off,
on what.
The off-premises is usually the bigger thing.
I got screwed last year. I got 3 bikes stolen in one day.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah. One day.
What?
Right after the Clyburgh bike tour.
Did they cover those?
No.
They didn't cover that.
I was really pissed because they didn't tell me that because it happened off-premise.
Oh, my God.
And only in New York.
Yeah.
There's like 3 places where the regular insurance doesn't, like, if you're living in New York City and your bike gets stolen anywhere other than like your house or maybe even in front of your house, they don't cover it unless you have to pay extra for it.
Yeah, that's because it gets stolen.
And I found that out at the last second. Like, I called them up. I'm like, don't worry about it. I'm going to get it. And the thing was, is that one of my bike, the bike that I was riding, like my father had passed away years ago. That was his old bike. And I was pissed off.
Yeah.
And for
I felt sad for you when that happened. I remember seeing that on Facebook.
Yeah, that kind of sucked. But I took it in stride. I'm like, am I gonna get upset because it's nobody's fault? Like, literally, a thief was out there and just decided to like grab these bikes and my girlfriend's bike and also a bike we just had brought for her brother. And we all did a 5-hour bike tour. And it was afterwards. We had some drinks at Clover Club. So yeah. Blocks away, a couple blocks away. When we came out, it was gone. You know, like, we just had brunch, we were drinking, we were having a good time, and someone came and sniffed. Dude, they even took the lock. They took everything.
Oh,
there was nothing, nothing there.
That's when you know you're in New York, dude.
Was it just like a whole street hit?
I had a bike in New York once that I left outside my apartment, Elliot. And so I knew I shouldn't have done it, and I did. It was locked. And the bike wasn't gone. But when I came down that next morning, I was drunk. I forgot I had left it down there. That I'd locked it up. And I don't remember what was missing, but I'm pretty sure it was the seat and a wheel that was missing. And I remember looking at it when I came out the front door. It was right on that pole right in the front of the exit from my building. I remember looking at it, and I didn't even get upset. I just remember looking at it, and like the forks are sitting on the curb. You know, like, sit down.
Put a cinder block
and
on
there's
it.
No seat. Yeah, there's no seat. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I can either get upset about this. I'm probably not going to be able to find the parts. I think, and I decided, like, that instant, I was like, I think what I'm going to do is just see how many days it takes for the whole bike to go missing.
Really?
And I didn't move it. I just left it. And it took like 8 days, roughly, I remember correct, 8 to 10 days. And it was funny. Like, I came down the next morning, you know, still kind of the same. Came down again, chain is gone. Came down again, back wheel's gone. And like 5-6 days later, it was like just the frame. And I thought, that's pretty neat, man. Like, handlebars, bearing sets, cranks, all gone. Just the fucking frame sitting there, locked to the post. I'm thinking they're done. No. Then I come down one day. The lock is hanging there with the piece of the frame that it was through. Like, that bike had like a, you know, a curved top and then one of those double small bars. I had hooked it through there and around the post. They had cut the tubes and left just the left just the piece that the lock was on.
Wow.
I just left it there, and then I think eventually the city came and cut the lock off and took it.
But you got to do that. Like, when that happens, I mean, I've been living in New York, back in New York now for 18 or 19 years, and I've never had a bike stolen, and I had three bikes stolen in one day. But sucks. I thought of it. I went all this time without getting anything stolen. I've never gotten anything stolen from here.
Yeah.
I've left shit somewhere, come back, and it's been gone. But I don't really kind of call that somebody kind of stole it, because I kind of just left it somewhere.
Yeah.
But like literally steal it like a bike, like literally cut the lock. It's never happened.
You know what that happens with? It happened to me like twice in New York. I went into raining, went to a CVS, hung my umbrella on the scaffold outside to be nice and not drag water through the store, came back out, umbrella's gone. Dude, there's nothing more humiliating than having walked like 8 blocks in the rain to get to the CVS. And then you got to walk back with no umbrella, or you got to be the dumbass and go back in and buy one.
Meanwhile, you're buying your own umbrella bag.
Yeah.
I bet you don't care about the places now, man. You just go and walk in with those umbrellas.
It never rains here.
Yeah, that's true.
It rains here, dude. Hey, dude, when are you going to come out here and visit, man?
I got to visit. I got to visit during one of your like barbecues, man.
You must have some other friends that are out here on the West Coast at this point.
Like, I got a few people. You know Amy is in the West Coast. Amy?
Okay. I was gonna say there had to be some other people that, you know, bounced out of New York.
There's definitely some others that are living there. The last time I was there was, I'm gonna be going to Mexico, and like I'm gonna be in Puerto Vallarta, like your side. So I'm gonna stop Cali for an hour and then, you know, get another flight to Mexico. Mm-hmm.
But swing through if you can. What's up in Mexico? Are you gonna do a Ragnar race?
Nah, but yeah, but you know, I was gonna bring that up. So funny thing, like we partied and you know we did our music thing, we're DJs, but you're the reason why I know like Austin, and Austin and me became like best friends. And
oh right,
I was running, and we had a mutual friend, Paul, and Paul was also a runner. And Wes was doing this Ragnar relay race. You know anything about Ragnar? So it's a 200-mile relay race for anybody who doesn't know. They do it everywhere. They do it in the United States. And I think they do it also overseas. And he asked, he's like, hey, dude, you wanna do this like 200-mile relay race? I'm like, what the fucking 200-mile relay race? Like, no, man, it's going to be like 12 of us. It's going to be like two vans. You know, you're going to pay like, it's like $125, $150. I forgot how much it was. At that time, that much. If he had the 12 people, and I was like, yeah, sure. So me, Paul, we went and we met Wes. And Wes, you were doing it at that time, what, like 2 or 3 years you were doing
it? I had done a bunch of them, yeah. Yeah.
And that's how I met, like, you know, when I met Maria, coach.
Yeah, Maria and Daniel, her they're married now. Yeah,
they got married.
Yeah.
Crazy. So we did this thing, and it was in New York. It was by Westchester. What was it, from Woodstock down to Westchester? So it was you never say the name right. Arredondo.
I don't remember that wooded area. Yeah. That we ran through.
You can never say that. But that, it was awesome. It was beautiful. You know, 20, I think we were at 25 or 26 hours it took us to finish it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but you're fun, man. Oh, yeah, that takes you to – no, it was longer than that, dude. It takes like 2 days, man.
I don't think so. No, it didn't take 2 days. All – together, it was about 26 hours that we finished ours.
And then the part I remember after all that was we come back into the city, and then you and I jump out of the van and go to that ghetto McDonald's in Midtown.
We did, with my blown knee.
I went in the bathroom, and there's like a needle in the toilet, and I'm like, oh, lovely. I had to go to the bathroom. I had to go to the bathroom so bad. And I told Elliot, dude, you don't even know, like, You got to go, and you look down, and there's like a needle in the toilet, and you're thinking to yourself, dude, how do I do this?
What you got to do, man? The needle's not going to come up and like freaking, you know, stab your penis.
I'm going to bite you.
It gets close. It gets close. I took a bunch of toilet paper and like padded the bowl with it.
Well, you sitting down peeing? Come on, man.
No, I had to take a dump, dude. That's why I jumped out.
Take a dump? Oh, I thought you were saying you just had to pee really bad. I'm like,
yeah, dude.
How long is it?
No, it's not that. It's not that long, dude. It's not that long.
Oh, oh God. Anyway.
Yeah, we did a bar crawl in the city.
You did all of that, and then you
and
like.
And then we did a bar crawl.
Man, I'm old. I'm like, I did something yesterday.
Yeah, we were pretty fucking ridiculous, man. Back in those.
Oh, yeah, that's that thing's a. It's definitely one of those deals where you go beyond tired, and then you're just like, yeah.
We were living off Whoppers.
I was going to say too much about.
Whoppers, donuts. I mean, that's
you have to get. But how about your shorts? How about your shorts, though, dude? I take Elliot like one of his pair of shorts. I swear,
shorts.
He hadn't run in them before, and he just brought them with him. And like, you don't necessarily see everybody when they start their like run, and sometimes it's dark, of course, because it just runs around the clock. And I'm sitting there waiting, and I see Elliot running down the street in these super short, like running onion skin shorts, and I'm just like.
Yeah.
Nice work, dude. Nice work.
Well, I remember you had Oscar the Grouch shorts. That's what you ran.
I finally lost them. I used those through like they're like surf, like board shorts. Yeah. Yeah.
No, we had good times then.
The first time I wore non-standard shorts, I didn't really know much about chafing.
Oh, here we go again. Chafing. I think we've covered. Sorry.
Well, for anybody that wants a pro running tip, I have two for you, especially the men.
Baby powder.
Yeah, you know, use a Glide.
Oh yeah, Glide.
Right? That stuff's pretty cool. It's a little weird. First time you do it, it's kind of like, you know, you gotta kind of
running a half marathon, I destroyed my nipples. I remember how
you got to be like the Glide is funny because you're like totally like you know you got to totally be like.
Seems like he's gonna kill
me. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Like first time you do it, you're just like, is this what people do? Because there's no like you like there's no one that tells you like how do you put it on, like how much is enough. So inevitably, you'll put too little one time and you'll chafe, and then the next time you'll be all up in there. You know?
Talking about the running.
Sponsored by Glide. Sorry.
Guess what I don't know why I fucking did this, but guess what I signed up for today?
New York Marathon.
Half Marathon. Brooklyn Half.
Brooklyn
Half. Shape. I've been going through so much like shit, you know, medical stuff, this and that. Haven't been in the gym in a while, but that second registration opened up and I saw it and I'm like, you know what? I mean, I'm going to do it. I got 4 months, but it's like 4 months.
Calling. When is that race?
May 19th.
Ooh, maybe I'll check it out, see if it's still available. Maybe I'll swoop in and go run it with you.
It's not available for like it, you know, that shit sells out in like half an hour.
Yeah. I figured it was.
It is if you like join the kids thing, but you have to like raise $500.
You have to donate like $1,000 to some society.
It should not be too bad. It was like $300. So you have to raise now. It's up to $500.
Damn. Wow. That's expensive.
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to get people to like donate and shit. Yeah, it's not supposed to be out of your pocket, but what happens is it comes out of everyone's pocket.
Of course.
Hey, so what, I know you've got some cameras probably around you, and I don't mean ones for this. I mean, like, your real cameras. Like, give me the scoop on one of your cameras, dude. I want to – anybody who's watching or checking this out later, I want them to get at least some good 411 on some camera life.
All right.
Okay, he's going to go get them. Oh, that's a nice room you got in there.
Yeah, this is my studio.
Look at that. He's got a studio.
Bring it out. I want 10 minutes of camera education for the squad.
Pulling two out. I'm going to give you the blow-by-blow. Pulling two out.
All right,
while we're here, I just want to point out that Hi-Fi is on the same bus line as me.
Yeah.
And his mom
lives next door to her.
Lives next door to me.
We just worked that out right now.
Work that. I'm going to go to the bathroom while you do that.
Yeah, you do your thing. Okay. All right, so first thing I talk about is this little lives next door to her.
Lives next door to me. Wes, close the window.
Is it you?
Get your attention.
It was me. Sorry. I'm back. There we go. Do it.
So I got this little bad boy right here. It's a Raleigh Flex.
I love it.
This particular camera is like, I don't know. I don't know if you can see in there. It's a viewfinder. It's kind of left is right, right is left. This is from like 1953. If you see the size of that, that's about the size of the negative.
Nice. Pretty
freaking big. 6x6.
Oh, really? Like that square footprint?
Yeah, it's a square. And it I'll show you real quick of what a picture looks like with this bad boy. So I got this made when I did some, I had a photo exhibition for, you know, we have this 1920s party. I think I've told you about it, but I don't know if you ever.
I think I've seen some of your photos. Yeah.
As age lawn party. So
yeah, keep it rocking. These are great, man.
This is like a print that I made on, this is on metal. And
oh,
this,
right.
This is a photo that came from this camera.
I remember when you were just getting into doing this style. Yeah.
And then
how did that exhibition go? You did a whole thing of those, right? Like five or I met you. It was one time I was in New York the last couple of years and I think you were getting into it because you had the portfolio with you and you were showing me like you had just picked them up. They weren't mounted.
No, I remember. It wasn't a portfolio, but I had picked up maybe 6 or 7 prints, but I don't know if it was for this show or not. It might have been.
All right.
But I, you know, I do a whole bunch of different things. Like I do my prints on wood, which is kind of cool.
You have one? I don't know if I've seen one of those.
Yeah, I do actually. Hold on. I'll show you what one looks like.
We'll have to make sure to tell people if you want to see the camera part, jump to the hour 30-minute mark. It took us an hour and 20 minutes to arrive at the camera.
Like we're on that track and then you got
So
derailed a couple times. Ooh, that's cool.
This New York, as you can see, and this is put on.
That's awesome.
You'll probably see this. This is the graffiti that's actually in New York, and I don't know if you recognize it, but
no. But you took a pic. So that's a photo you took, and you mounted that on wood.
I did, but it's like it's weird. You have to kind of like almost burn it in here. No, yeah. That's a photo. It's the same, you know, the same thing, but
yeah.
And I also put them on these. I'll show you some old school pictures. See if you remember. This is right by where you used to live, but I also put these on. You remember this?
Oh, yeah, dude. That's awesome.
It's old school, but, you know, and I also do these, you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't even look like, I mean, that really looks like an old photo, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of cool. So, but that's done. That was done digital. And then I got this monster to show you. This is a Pentax 6.7.
Is that like the latest and greatest that you like?
No, it's not the latest and greatest. This is probably from 1960 or 1950.
It didn't look digital. It's not digital, right? It's not
digital. This is this weighs. I'll let you hold on to this bad boy, but you'll see. It's like 20 pounds.
He's now tipping over.
But it's, yeah, these are kind of cool. They're all film. You know, I've been shooting the majority of stuff I'm doing right now is film. I don't even pull out my digital for anything anymore. It's a little expensive.
How many cameras do you have, would you say? 10?
All together?
I don't know, 10?
Digital and film, probably. Yeah, maybe around 10 or 11 cameras.
We just did a lot of hanging out and catching up and bullshitting today, but we should totally do a, an interesting walkthrough of some cameras one day, some details. for some people that are into music that like taking pictures.
Yeah, so in the music thing,
who's that?
That I do are, you know, musicians. Like, music is my thing when it comes to. I just printed out a couple of things. You know, this Thundercat. I don't know if you guys know Thundercat.
Yeah.
But
awesome.
That was Thundercat. A lot of jazz stuff, but this is the stuff. I just wanted to kind of throw this out here.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have like a favorite style or type of musician? Does it matter when you're photographing them? Is there like a certain type that's more fun to take pictures of? DJ, who's that?
Wait, what did you say?
Who is that, DJ?
That's A-Skills, actually.
Oh, it's A-Skills. It looked like him, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's he was spinning at Brooklyn Bowl.
Nice.
What other stuff? Style-wise, man, I love to – when it comes to the thing that I love the most is, like, shooting events, shooting musicians. This is Alice Russell.
Cool.
You know,
but do you find that the bands are, you know, like – bands versus DJs, is one typically got more, you know, exciting opportunities to take a good photo?
I mean, I've gotten really the DJ stuff works out really well because I'm able to get, you know, I know people and I'm normally able to get all up in and take some good shots of some people that I love, producers and DJs and whatnot,
without getting the facepalm.
Yeah, without getting a facepalm, but I actually love shooting bands more than I love shooting DJs. I mean, there's so many photos you can take of like a guy twisting knobs.
You said it, dude, not me.
You know, I got a lot of pictures of you that way.
You do have some of my favorites. I need to actually. I either need to dig up the ones that you gave. I know you definitely gave them, most of them to me. I hounded you for years on some of them to get them from you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a little difficult when it comes to uploading them in time and then edit them. And that's the one thing that it's been the hardest for me to do is, you know, when I take my camera everywhere. So normally when I'm out, when something's going on, I take photos and everyone's like, hey, when can I get those photos? And I'm like, well, you know, kind of, I'm not getting paid for it. So,
right.
You know, it kind of comes down to that. Like, hey, it's kind of like when I feel like, or when I have time to get it through, if I'm going to get paid for something, then hey, no problem.
Oh shit. Money talks. Now that all the pictures you have that you took of me are, you know, older, you know, now, you know, I could pay you to go dig them up. And finally give me the fucking edits.
Don't you have the majority? I showed you all the ones that I have.
I have, you know, I took all, I have all, I've got every photo that's ever crossed my desk, but you know how that goes with, I mean, I'm pretty good about filing things, but I need to go back. And now that I have better, like I use Adobe Lightroom now to catalog photos.
Lightroom's great.
Yeah, so it's cool. It works real well, and I get it because I, you know, use all the other Adobe Suite stuff. So it's kind of part of that. So I started using that. You already know it. You know, like I'm just basic with it. But I love that it's got the depth of tagging and searching and whatnot. You know, the camera types. You know, whatever metadata has been there is like a lot more of it than something like the iPhoto or, you know, the free photo apps have. Anyway, I need to go through and like do a little bit of like Elliot tagging. So that I can find them, you know, because what happens is they're just by event, you know?
Yeah.
And then I don't remember which ones you were at or whatever, you know, it's usually New York.
I was looking through a lot of my photos today and I ran into quite a few of the ones that I took of you in the last couple of shows that you did.
Yeah. But you even got like some good ones of, you know, me and other friends just hanging out, you know?
Yeah, not for nothing. I have the ones even from like Leopard Lounge from your juice days.
Yeah, see, that's like stuff I don't think I ever saw, like all of them. I definitely saw some of them. Dude, were people? I don't want to say we weren't using digital cameras, but there weren't smartphones, bro, at that time, were there?
No.
This is 10, it's a little over 10 years ago.
No, digital camera, what I was using back then was like my point and shit, like a little Canon PowerShot that I was using.
But the iPhone just turned like 10 recently, right? So, like, This was just before that, right? Because nobody, people weren't running around with cell phones, dude, taking pictures. And
even with the people that were running around with cell phones, I remember when I got my cell phone, it was not an iPhone. It was something else that, like, took shitty
pictures. Yeah, and it wasn't great. It was like you had to flip it open, like,
spot. Yeah, the flip phones and shit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and then it took you, like, forever to get the thing off of there. You could use it as, like, a thumbnail when your phone opened and took, like, 2 minutes to boot up, and it would, like, be this 8-bit pixel version of whatever picture you took.
Yeah, open. Exactly. It was terrible.
People are going to think we're talking about, like, the 1950s.
We thought it was great.
Yeah, we thought it was great at the time. We're like, terrible,
dude. Hey, what was your first phone on that subject? I'm curious. What was your first phone you ever had?
Mine?
Yeah.
I had a phone, and it was one that was given by Verizon. I don't even remember.
I love it, dude. That's how we all were. We're like, oh, yeah, dude, whatever the Samsung gave me a flip phone.
$99 or $50. Back then, it was probably cheaper. It was like $50.
300 minutes, and after 7, it was free.
Wow.
But 300.
Remember when you used to have to pay per text?
Yeah, that didn't even.
Everybody just used to walk around with a beeper.
Yes.
People didn't even use text. That's so funny, man. They're like, text. Why would I do that? I'll just call.
I remember my friends would be like,
well,
like,
it sucked, man.
Not even you would be one hand trying to do that T9 shit.
No, seriously. It wasn't like you got to pick all these things. You had to like hit it 3 times to get one letter.
You'd be like,
I don't know. I bet you could still text somebody.
You'd be like,
That'd be a funny meme. I'm sure there's one out there, like the flip phone text. It's like 30 seconds. It's like, hello. And then today it's like 30 seconds. You fucking signed a real estate contract.
But you were literally memorized, like, how many times you had to press the button for each one.
Totally.
Still do it.
That's so crazy, man.
Just have a flip phone. On the next variety show.
I want to come hang out, and I want to come hang out in New York now.
Flip phone, just see how long it takes them to text each other.
Flip phone, dude. Yeah. There'll be so much dead airspace on here. People will be like, "What are they doing?"
You just hear click, 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 click.
But then maybe it'll go viral. They'll be like, "Oh, dude, check out this podcast. You can't hear anything, but it's because they spend the whole time trying to type on these old phones."
It's art project these guys are doing. Like
it's art project. People trying to type on this old flip phone. It looks like they're trying to reenact Star Trek.
I kind of really wish I just had a flip phone at this point, though.
I held on to my flip phone for the longest time as an emergency phone until Verizon told me, like, you can't use this phone anymore because it doesn't do, like, 911. It doesn't have some connection, so I had to, like, throw it out. But, like, it's not good anymore.
They'll find a way.
That's raw, dude. That's
the 5.
That's raw.
Like, oh, you got the 5. Right? Yeah, I still hold on to my 6, so it's no problem. So wait, again on a photography bit.
Yep.
So one of the coolest things that
I got one to share with you, dude. Hold on.
What? Is it a meme?
Nope.
What the hell is that? Wait, I gotta see. Wait, hold on. Keep it up there. What the hell is that?
What
a dog?
What is that?
I just see a. What? I don't even understand.
That dog sleeping on his back. He's totally giving you the dog Peter.
Why are you giving me a dog Peter?
No, dude.
Jesus Christ. You need to move along with that dog picture because it doesn't make any sense. But look, one of the cool things that I've done photography wise that I did once was I was actually behind the scenes of this like little independent movie, and I got to like shoot them making a movie. I mean, yeah, there's two people on bed. It wasn't a porn.
That's cool, man.
There was no porn thing going on, but that was kind
of soft porn. Was it an Italian movie?
No, it was an Italian movie. Although this guy is quite the Guido. He was a comedian. He's actually a pretty cool guy. I actually got to do that. I got hired to shoot behind the scenes and shoot them shooting the movie and shoot.
What's your favorite photography event you've ever done?
Photography event? Well, I said, like, that's one of my favorites.
That was pretty memorable.
Because I've never had that before. I've never done that before. It was boring when I wasn't actually shooting because you have to just sit there and wait until you're actually able to go in there and shoot. Trying to think other fun times. I mean, Alice Russell, the 1920s party that I do every year. So the thing that the reason why I had the whole photo show is that all the photographers for that was, you know, all these just freelance photographers that go to 1920s party with old school cameras. Like my camera was a 1950s camera. Some people were bringing cameras from like the 1920s.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Does everybody like, so everyone that's taking pictures shows up with their old school stuff.
Yeah, they come up, you know, like they're enjoying the party plus they're shooting. So
yeah.
I go there with these cameras and I was shooting these people dressed up in 1920s.
Oh, that's
get up.
Cool. I like
right
it.
There. Look. See those big pictures?
Yeah.
1920s party. And like this too is from, I showed him from the 1920s party as well.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of like great musicians, you know, and there's opportunity to take some like really awesome pictures of you know, kind of a split between.
What would it cost? Like if I had some pictures that were either high enough quality or whatnot, what does it cost to have something like that mounted or, you know, like done nicely like that?
Well, I mean, this we cut. I did myself actually. Had to buy this particular board. The photo, this itself, this metal print.
Yeah.
It probably cost like $20, just the metal print. And then I had to get this special board. I actually had to pick it up in Long Island.
How do you adhere the so cleanly? How do you mount that?
I mean, this being adhered. This was adhered because it's actually this board is made in a way where this is adhesive. So you pull this thing off, this cover off.
Okay.
You have to really carefully put this on and like lay it on and just, you know, get it in there. And then I have to cut the wood and then, you know, glue this wood back here. And this is what I used to mount it on the wall when I was you know, showing the pictures out during the photo event for this show.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. Got to meet
some these things sitting around your apartment now?
Yeah, I got a lot of photography around the apartment.
I'm sure you do, dude. So I just moved, man. I just moved. The reason, partly why I'm asking some of this about the pictures you might have of related to you and I, but also some others that I may have. Not the one I just showed you of a dog, but some better ones of the dogs. I just moved, so my walls are all blank. I need to get into my Lightroom, go through, highlight some stuff, frame some things, you know.
Yeah.
Any tips or tricks to that, or is it just really, you know, getting it, you know, do you go to a photo place and have them print that? Like nowadays that everything's digital, or do you go to some website and have them print it and mail it to you?
I use Adorama Pics and Adorama New York. You know, they're like a B&H. So it's Adorama Pics.
Gotcha.
You can go in there and you can pick things like metal prints and whatnot. When it comes to everything else, it's like I had to do a lot of research and like, you know, I wanted to do something special. So I end up getting these and having to pick them up. So it's a bit of a pain in the ass. It wasn't that it was expensive, but it's a little bit of time consuming going to the, I had to actually go to a factory to get these, this particular board.
It seems far more rigid than like foam core board. It sounds like wood.
Yeah, it's not wood. It's kind of like foam core. It's a little bit more.
It seems sturdier.
This is more sturdier than foam core because you can see about
how
it is.
It almost looks like PVC.
But they're made with the adhesive, one adhesive side and no adhesive side. This is the adhesive side, so you get these, and I got this cut. You know, I cut these prints exactly so they will fit here, and you know, me and my lady took, I don't know, 2 hours on putting them all on.
Hold that thing back up there for a second. I'm getting a good shot of all this.
Hold on.
You see?
There you go. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, dude. There we go. Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So, if people who I'm glad we got into talking about all this, but like I said, maybe we'll do a more photography history, your photography thing some other time. In fact, that's kind of an interesting thing with some folks. Usually we're just talking about stuff and it'll come up, whatever they, what we're all into. But it's kind of an interesting thing because sometimes some people, you know, they're just friends of mine. They've got a real long history probably of what they've done. Like you with your photography, man, it goes, like if we did an hour, you know, and you brought, like, it'd be like me doing a history of my music, you know, like if I broke out, like, from all the years that I've been involved, and I broke out, like, pieces of songs that I've produced and mixes I've made, you know, like that would I think it would be pretty dramatic, the different, you know, like the whole evolution and just the difference in styles and everything, like your photos would be, is my point, you know?
Yeah.
The only time we ever did that, Kelly, was my buddy Michael with tequila.
Oh yeah, he did a tequila presentation.
Yeah, and he doesn't really make tequila, but he gave a real nice, it was interesting. Like the whole episode was nothing but tequila. That was fun.
Actual presentation.
Yeah,
awesome.
I was thinking about doing a presentation and yeah. I was gonna pair each camera with a beer.
Let's do it.
Let's do it sometime.
I was going to tell you ahead of time, like, for you to pick up this beer so we can all try it at the
same time.
It'll be like, I love the idea. I love that idea because, like, I'm trying to have something a little bit more, you know, tactile to the ones when they're remote. For the San Diego people, I started having them come in here. We don't sit like here. We have another table on this side you can't see. Yeah. You know, and we sit there and play, like, board games and shit and, you know, just stuff like that. It's kind of fun while we're talking. But yeah, dude, we should totally do that sometime. You know, as you know, we didn't put a ton of time into planning the content, but I like, you know, now that we kind of uncovered one that would make a lot of sense, we'll do, cool to do a history of your photos and the different cameras. And I think, you know, even, I know there's a lot of people that are interested in learning more about photography, and you got quite a long history of it. What's like, what would you say for someone who might happen to be listening today or later to this, what's a good, like, spot for them to kind of go if they're interested and want to get started in something beyond, you know, the iPhone 10 or whatever, you know,
in terms
like
of
a website, like what's a good source aside from them just sifting through the sea of YouTube?
A particular website, getting aside from, like, YouTube, a place that I used to go to a lot was F-Stoppers. That was, like, one of my first websites that I learned a lot of stuff because they have a lot of videos that are on YouTube. But the website itself is based around photography and videography.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And I met those guys, and there's a photography conference, like we have our music conference.
Yeah.
Here in New York, called Photo Plus, and it's every year around Halloween time. So I know
Photo Plus.
Yeah, huh. Photo Plus. So you go in there and you get to meet, you know, a lot of your photography, you know, gurus or workshops, you know, like all that shit, which is really cool. I went to a couple of the workshops, got to see some of my favorite photographers, you know, teaching me about, like, portrait work or, you know, how to pose, like posing, lighting, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of great. It's not too expensive. I think it's like $100 or so.
But since you're in New York, it doesn't cost you $3,000 to be there for
four hours. No, I get it. But yeah, getting back, I guess I went off track, but F-Stoppers is a really great, website to go on and just look up. They have so much content from all the years they've been up, where you can literally go search anything from lighting to cameras, digital versus film, full frame versus.
I'm looking on there now. Yeah, it's deep, man. I mean, just
it goes deep. It goes really deep, and I learned a lot of really good stuff, and a lot of photographers that are really big now, were people like myself that, you know, went on F-Stoppers and, you know, looked up stuff, and then they became writers, and
that's cool, man. Well, yep. You're definitely the most accomplished photo you know, media photographer guy I know, person that I know.
How do they find you, or who do you want to get in touch with you, and how do they find you?
Well, I have a website. It's hifinyc.com, and that has my that has some of my photography when it comes to film and digital, some projects that I worked on, just a little bit of like what I do. I even did
Hi-Fi NYC, one word?
Yeah, hifinyc.com. Should see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sweet.
Came up. I think you have a couple pictures there from the 1920s party.
Yeah, right in the front. Yeah, cool.
Doing portrait work, you know, I do some portraits for friends and whatnot. You know, they pay me to take pictures that they put on their blog posts and all that other stuff. Right now, I got a 9-to-5 job, which I love and takes a lot of my time. But this is something on the side that I do. Make a little bit extra cash is great. I'm going to have to take it more serious now because – oh, so quick question for you. I know
– sorry, I was scoping your site and you got there's a photo in there, the 20s party with Butterface.
Butterface, yeah. He just got married. I just happened to run into him at I think, the last 1920s party last year.
He just bought a house. I saw it online. Good for him, man.
Him and his
wife.
Wife-to-be, but now
– okay. I thought they were married. Okay, cool.
No,
they're married now, right? Yeah.
They are married. At that time, that picture, they weren't married yet.
Uh-oh, maybe some little butters running around soon.
Maybe some butters running around.
The baby butter pats. What were you going to ask me? You were going to ask me something. What were you going to ask me?
Man, I completely forgot.
You were talking about becoming more serious about the photography.
I completely forgot.
You're saying you had to become – you were talking about your job. You like it. And then I think you got your master's degree or something. Things going good, but then you were saying something about, you know, you had to get more serious about the photography thing if you're going to do something.
Okay, thank you. So,
I'm good at repeating people.
So, buying a place, what you did right at that time was buy your place. I'm actually looking for a place right now, and I can't tell you how fucking expensive it is in New York City.
I'm cringing at what you're about to tell me. Yeah, how.
Two-bedroom over six.
Yeah. And that's in Brooklyn, kind of near where you are now?
Yeah, I mean, at different places in Brooklyn. Because I want to stay in Brooklyn. I don't think I want to, like, head off to Queens.
Brooklyn's great, dude.
But, I mean, a two-bedroom place that needs a lot of work is over 600, man. It's way too much. A small one-bedroom place is going to cost you almost five.
You know, I still have my condo, dude, there in Lower East Side.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wish.
I don't even, I rent it, but I'm not like, it's like, I don't even want, like, I know what it's worth, but I don't want to know. You know, it's like crazy to me, that area.
You want to sell it or you want to keep it?
No, I don't want to sell it. Yeah.
It's only going to get higher.
No, what I was going to mention on this, we'll do it another episode or something, maybe go more in depth. I've got some other friends that are more into the real estate side of things, but it's interesting that you asked and maybe we'll do it another time. What were you doing?
No, I was saying about you and a credit card. Like, what are you doing? Like, just holding on to credit card.
Oh, yeah. Just they're new ones that I need to call and the ones I need to call. Just talk about money, yo.
Fucking pulling out credit cards and shit.
Yeah. No, they need to be authorized. But anyway, yeah, there's a real estate business is deep. But what I was going to say was for people, just real quick, kind of on that tip, like, I'm not sure what you're trying to buy a place because you want to stay for a long time, right? You don't want to.
Just ask them what it is in San Diego.
Like, what is it in San Diego? I know it's ridiculous here, but how is it over there?
Two bedroom, three bath here would be, I mean, sorry, three bedroom, two bath here would be, you know, more, you know, it's going to be more like a single level house on a quarter acre, let's say. Okay. 600, 657.
Not made close to the beach, but not on the beach.
That's
not even close. No, like, I have friends that have bought places, you know, three bedroom, two bath, again, that same style, but over. West of I-5, which is the big highway here, and then so west of there is all going towards the beach, for example. Those are you can't even fart for less than $1 million, dude. No way. Not a standalone home. You might get it. You might find a condo, you know, two bedroom, two bath condo. You might find that for six, seven, eight, probably not. Probably a million. Because most of those are new. So obviously newer construction is going to cost more, but this area where I live is, you know, it's got a ton of homes that were built in the 40s and 50s. And then, you know, they've been renovated obviously over time, maybe once or twice since then, like full renovations. So that's a lot of what you see here. You don't see a whole lot of new homes built here, but even still, yeah, 1.5, like, you know, and every block closer you go to the beach is going to be like another 10%. So 1.5 will get you like a half a mile away from the water.
Wow.
So yeah, it's crazy, man. You know, like where you are, that whole area, you know, New York area, metro area, San Francisco metro areas.
I'm not even in like a hot spot like Brooklyn, but it's still, like, yeah. If you want to get a two bedroom place.
But Brooklyn is metro, you know. Metro New York.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, it's New York City, you know?
I'd say depending on where you are in Brooklyn. I don't live in an area in Brooklyn where it's you know, there's tons of shit around here.
Yeah,
and it only takes me a half an hour, 45 minutes to get into the city, which is great.
Yeah, it's great. I love that spot you live, yeah.
Man, I remember the one time you came to my house, you're like, yo, this is way far.
Yeah, but like right, but I didn't know much either, you know. I was kind of new to the game. But dude, but wait, I think I came out twice. I know once I came to your actual house, but then another time, remember the time we were stuck at New Year's on the train?
Well, yeah, that was the, I think that oh no,
was you, that it?
I think that was the time that you came to my house. You're like, yo, this.
And we met like two random girls and just ran in a bar so we could all celebrate New Year's ball drop. Yeah.
Sure, because we literally, it was like 11:55 New Year's Eve, and we're like, yo, we're still about a half an hour away from where we're supposed to be. So like,
train is empty.
Find the first bar we can, and at least like have it. And we went into this Spanish topless place.
And we grabbed like a random person that was on the train with us. Like the train was stopped, and we were all just like, let's get out here. There's like five of us on the train.
Yeah,
we're like, come with us. And we all just ran in this tapas bar and like bought a bottle of champagne and partied.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. And then we went back on the train and then did what we had to do. And that was a fun party too. That was a party
that was a lot of fun, dude. Yeah, that was a good time. Yeah, that was awesome, man.
Brooklyn Park.
Oh, man.
You kind of disappeared. I think there was a lady involved, and I think you disappeared. You're like, all right, I gotta go, man.
Yeah, it was a Korean. It was a Korean girl.
That's normally how it happens. Yo, I gotta go.
But I'm only saying that because it was a Korean girl that you introduced me to, dude. You totally know it. Yeah. That didn't last long.
No.
I think she had roommates. That wasn't working out.
Yeah, and her parents were.
Yeah, I think her roommates were her parents.
Yeah, that was.
note to everybody: parents are awesome.
I know you wanted to have a conversation about this, but we're probably not going to have a conversation about it now. But if you want to get into, what I've talked to you about with psychedelics and my
you waited till like you knew it'd be about time to go, so you don't have to get deep into it.
I'm just saying, if you no, I was waiting for you to bring it up, but you didn't bring it up, so I just kept it going. It was okay. It was an okay topic to have a conversation about. But
it was okay. I thought I think maybe in the past before we had rescheduled this several times, I had heard it was maybe off limits, but
yeah, it makes it tough with having
a job.
A corporate job, unlike you artists over here.
I gotta go eat dinner with my mom. My mom's in town. I tell you what, she's in town for like 2 months. It's pretty awesome. So we have like she's come before to visit for a couple of days, but this is like an extended stay because when I bought my place, I still have my apartment for a few months. So I was like, hey, come on out. You know, she loves it out here. So I was like, come on out and just live there. You know, so she's doing that. But it's funny, like we meet like at 9 a.m. for coffee every morning. It's pretty funny. I don't have too many friends that are awake at that hour.
Staying at his old apartment.
Oh, she's staying at your old apartment?
Yeah, because he moved.
Because I still had like 4 months on the lease.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think we should come back and do a photography and psychedelic show.
We should. Yeah, we'll do like, I like your idea, the beers, you know, maybe like I'll get some flight glasses on my side. I'll pour myself a flight. And all right.
We'll tell you which one.
Yeah, do the pairing. It'll be like photos and pairing.
We're going to do photos and pairing. Great. Fantastic.
Photos and beer pairing episode. I absolutely love it, dude.
Psychedelics.
And we're going to take psychedelics while we do this and see where things go.
We'll mail you some.
I'll smoke. It's legal out here now.
You'll smoke what? It'll be just like Joe Rogan. Come on.
Everybody smokes. A lot of people smoke some weed anyway, but look, definitely.
You're the straightest person.
I've smoked like 5 times now, dude.
5 times your whole life.
Some of my best friends like that live out here that I've known for like from DC way back. No, they're like they've been smoking forever, and they thought it was so funny because I hit one of them up.
Have best friends that smoke. You sound ridiculous. No, I'm saying you're like yo. I know smoking. I have like best friends that smoke.
Totally like that. To me, it's funny because like there's a lot of things that I know some stuff about that marijuana and cannabis is zero. I know nothing.
Really?
I know nothing, dude. Yeah, like this is why I was giving the background of my couple friends that have like for 20 years because I have to like call them up and be like, hey, you know, I want to get high. I want to get high, dude. And they'll be like, they got their whole like kit.
I got to get high. What is it like? Sour diesel? I don't know what any of this stuff is, man. Holly weird. I don't know what this is.
They got the kit, man. Yeah.
Francisco and it all became legal. Like you can actually buy it in a store the day that I arrived there. And my friends were all like, "So what's it like?" I'm like, "I don't know."
Well, yeah, that's right. It's all legal where you are.
That's why I'm saying January 1st, dude. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, January 1st it became nice.
That's right. I wish New
York had that, but we don't.
I wish New York had just something.
We don't.
Yeah, you can come out. You can come out to California. There's a reason you can come out to California, and you can teach me more. Teach my novice marijuana self more stuff about things.
I can teach you, but again,
it's so funny, dude. Because like you know that about me. So is Kelly, but like you know me from back in the days of partying and everything. It's so funny because people will still ask me, dude. They'll be like, wait a minute, dude. You never like smoke weed.
And all the people who ask you, I'm sure, like, hey man, you wanna do a little this, you wanna do a little that? You're like, nah, man, I'm good. They're like,
dude,
really?
If I would be living in one of those houses we were talking about if I had a dollar for every time that someone has offered me drugs, not just that, but turned it down.
It's true.
I mean, it's got to be 10,000. I mean, I can't even begin.
I wish like one night he would just come out and just be like, just take a minute.
That's funny. We'll get more into that. We'll get more into that when we do that episode. You know,
because
it's one of the things I think. You know, that's a very interesting path for either and. Yeah, I never really put much more. I never put as much thought into any particular reason that I did or didn't, you know, get involved or my friends did or didn't. Honestly, never until like all this stuff started getting voted on for marijuana, right? And then that's the only thing that ever really reminded me that it was kind of like a thing, right? Because you know, through party stuff, like no one's ever talking about like, is it allowed or not? It's just there. You know what I mean? So you don't like, it's not like, you know, you're making some decision, dude. You're just around it. You know what I mean? I don't know. It always just seemed pretty natural to me. But because of all the heightened, you know, around the legislative and it's in the news and all that, you know?
And that's a whole other freaking podcast. You can actually get
show, dude.
3 or 4 people to go on here and actually have this conversation.
Yeah. You know,
for me, when it comes to certain illegal things, like, for example, psychedelics. I'm doing it medicinally, and yeah. other people medicinally when it comes to smoking, and there are other people that do it just because they're doing it recreationally. And
but you have some medicinal, yeah. I was gonna say you have some medicinal purposes.
You just yeah. never like, really into like doing anything.
I'll pay a little more attention to, you know, my friends here in Southern California, and try to find one that would be a good part for that conversation to add to. You know what I mean? Yeah. That'd be a fun roundtable. That'd be a lot of fun because, yeah, we could get some good different perspectives.
Yeah, about the legalities. And even when it comes to music and how drugs are so wrapped into, especially electronic music and going out and partying, you know, it has been from the get when it comes to E.
Damn, we're starting to sound like Stuff You Should Know podcast.
Yeah.
It is stuff you should know. Nothing wrong with understanding the world more, all of it. Dude, I'm starting to think about documentaries, talking about documentaries with you.
No, man, you can go to another 2-hour conversation.
I'm thinking we have like 3 more podcasts to go with Hi-Fi.
Yeah, man, dude, it's, yeah. No wonder when we've always hung out, it's been for like 10 hours, dude. We get to going and drinking and whatever, man.
The more you drink, the more. Yeah, I heard you don't drink during your podcast. What's up with that? Yeah,
I do, but I'm not today. I'm going to meet my mom for spaghetti.
Yeah, I think when we first started, we kind of did it. We both were drinking a little bit there.
You know what the I don't have a problem with it at all on the show. It's mostly that the way that I have you can't see it in here, but the way you may have seen on some of the past episodes, it wasn't really conducive because I didn't want the fucking beers around my studio equipment and stuff. But now I've switched all that around. So where I'm sitting here, like if I'm just by myself on this side, there's another space on that side you can't see. But if I'm on this side where now I have all of kind of a L-shape, pretty big L-shape, like with the synths and stuff all over here, you can't see them. So now I got another table on this side where I'm going to do the podcasting from. It's just not set up. It's a mess over there right now. Anyway, I'll have that set up next time when we do the other stuff. And I'll have plenty of space for my flights, bro.
Yeah,
nice.
Bro.
Are you going to come to New York anytime soon?
Yeah, coming to New York.
I might. I'm talking to some guys about doing a party in Brooklyn, actually. So that might work out. We're looking, you know, we're talking May summer or later.
Summer, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a couple other festivals that I do, you know, throughout the summer. So I don't really want to do like one of my own or a collaborative party with somebody that's going to get in the way of that shit because it's already like, that's like the season right there, May, June, July, August, you know? So it'd probably be after that.
Well, yeah. Just to tell you, our friend Jay Cleary moved back to Canada, man. We need to do a Canada trip.
Jay Cleary.
Love that guy, dude. Yeah, one of the festivals I do is Electric Love Festival, and it's in Vancouver, the other side. I think he's over on the east side, right? Yeah. Toronto? Yeah. That guy's great, man. He's awesome.
I'm dying to go to Shambhala, and I want to go every year. I keep saying I want to go. I mean, if there's anywhere that I would go and actually camp, and I don't, I mean, Wes, me and you had this conversation because you asked me.
Yeah, I remember you telling me. He's like, I'm not a camper.
I'll glamp. You know, give me like a shower, a bed. You know what I'm saying? Like that stuff, I'm good. But
they do that at Shambhala.
But when it comes to Shambhala, like I would actually do that.
They'll do the glamping at Shambhala. Yeah. You can buy a package.
That's what I'm talking about.
We're trying to go to Croatia.
To do what? The Yacht Week?
To do
there's so much. There's so much awesome stuff, dude. Dude, you're gonna be like a. Yeah, since we don't get to hang out as much anymore, man, I'm gonna get some beers, and we'll have to do this more often, dude.
We could do the photography one, like this.
We got topics now. This was like for
we all together,
yeah.
And we can
for anybody in the somehow Elliot. So like funny, like somehow like 300 to 400 people like end up listening to this thing over the course of like time after we
over a course.
Well, it's like zero. Yeah, it's like one now, like live. But
we had 70.
What's up?
Oh, now I'm back to zero. The whole person was like, oh, yeah.
You scared
that's
them
just
off.
Me. That's just me logging in down here so we don't look pathetic. No, but the audio, a lot more people like wants the audio because it's just easier, I think, you know, and they don't have to do it like on our time schedule. Like the same reason as in podcasting, all right? But anyway, it's pretty funny. But yeah, we definitely got like for anyone that makes it to the end of this on the audio later, it's like, love this you. Was like, this is an exploratory episode with one of my very good friends that I met through music, which is, you know, that is, hey, that's special to me. And Kelly, I also met you through music.
Of course.
No, but it is being candid because, you know, you don't necessarily always meet, you know, when you go to something, you know, whether it's volleyball or music or photography, you know, you're a lot of times you go to these things with a common interest. That doesn't necessarily mean that outside of that, there's going to be a lot of reason to maybe have a friendship outside of that. So I think that's cool with both of you. For me, that's special to me because out of thousands of people that I've met in music, you know, for any number of reasons, there's a few that you end up staying friends and having common interests with for a long time. It's awesome.
No, it's same to you, man. Music has been such a big part of my life that the majority of the friends that I met here in New York that I'm still friends with now were somewhat connected to, you know, when I came here, meeting them because of the music. And you're one of those people. There's a couple of people that I still talk to, you know, I still talk to Paul. I mean, I'm fortunate there's a lot of people that have kind of veered off and done their own thing, but I made some like lifelong friends from because of music, you know,
Exactly, man. And you never know when you get into something like who is or isn't going to kind of go that similar path that you might have or whatever, you know, or just stay in touch. But anyway, cool, man. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for chatting.
Thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure and honored and whatnot. And
thanks for bringing your mugs into the, you know, the sunny San Diego studio while it's all cold there.
Word.
I'll send you some sunset photos. Stay classy, yo.
Stay classy, yo.